Afternoon, if you'll turn with me to 1 Kings, we want to continue our study looking at the life of Solomon. Last Wednesday, we looked at Solomon and the wealth that he attained. But as we come to chapter 11, we find that Solomon has got a problem. Solomon started out very well, but he finishes very bad. He started out seeking God for a gift that God was pleased with. He asked for wisdom. God gave Solomon more wisdom than any man on earth, and people came from all over the world of his day just to sit and ask questions of him to hear his wise responses. However, Solomon did not listen to the Lord when it came to the passage that we read earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 17. And if you just want to turn with me quickly to Deuteronomy chapter 17, I want you to see what the Lord had told for the future kings of Israel that they needed to do. The Lord knew that there were going to be kings in Israel, even though there weren't to start with, and God didn't desire them to have kings. But the people wanted kings. And so the Lord had told during the time of Moses what would happen. If you pick it up at Deuteronomy chapter 17, and let's just start at verse 14. And thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and thou shalt dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. And that's exactly what Israel did. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou be set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Just pause there. Solomon didn't obey God in that sense. He gathered horses and chariots unto himself, and he also traded horses and chariots with Egypt. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it therein all the days of his life, that he may learn and fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of his law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Well, Solomon started out well, but he disobeyed God in just about every aspect of that. We don't have any record. Solomon wrote the law of the Lord down as God commanded, what the Levites had recorded. He didn't write it, nor did we have any record that he read it. He may have done it, we don't know, but he didn't follow it. He didn't follow this law specifically, and today we're going to look at what is really the downfall of Solomon. He disobeyed God with horses, he disobeyed God with chariots, he disobeyed God with gold and silver. But his greatest disobedience with God was multiplying wives unto himself, because the Lord said it wasn't the horses and chariots that would be the king's downfall, it wasn't the multiplying of gold and silver, but it was going to be adding wives unto himself, would end up being the downfall of a king. And this is exactly what we're going to be studying tonight. So let's just take a look at, turn back to 1 Kings chapter 11, and let's read beginning at verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, woman of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect before the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon, and likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, help us to learn. Now help us to see the importance of walking with you our whole life, not getting sidetracked, and not disobeying you and doing things that we should not do, that you've told us and warned us about. Lord, now I pray that you just speak to us and help us to understand exactly why this was such a detriment to Solomon and brought him far from you. And Lord, help us to learn from it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God said, one man for one woman. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines, which is considered a secondary wife, not a primary wife. So he had basically 1,000 wives. Someone was talking, and Barb was saying, he wouldn't even see them. If he saw them just one day a year, he couldn't see them all in a year. You wouldn't even see him in 3 years. It would take more than 3 years if he just spent one day with each one. So how well could he have known most of his wives? Well, not real well. And the problem is they still had a great influence on him. He listened to their complaints and concerns, which were ungodly complaints and ungodly concerns, and he yielded to them. Now, first of all, let's just take a look at who Solomon married that was an abomination to the Lord. It said, first of all, his first wife was a daughter of Pharaoh. She was from Egypt. They weren't to go back to Egypt. The Israelites weren't to be attracted to Egypt, but yet that was his first wife. That's who he built the palace for, a palace for her next to his on the Temple Mount. And she was his first wife. Part of this may have been to unite with the Pharaoh of Egypt because his daughter was now of the house of Israel. Scriptures don't say the reason why he did it. They just tell us he did it, which he shouldn't have done. The Egyptians had multiple gods. And this was evident when the Israelites were delivered out from under the Pharaoh at that time when they were captives and slaves. They went in as a free people and they came out delivered as a nation by the Lord. But God had to deliver them from under the influence of Pharaoh and his ungodly demonic gods that were no gods at all. Things had not probably changed much in Egypt, and I didn't dig out history books to see who the Egyptians were worshiping at this current time, but it was not God. And so his first marriage was a marriage, again, of expediency from appearance-wise and not of obedience and not honoring the Lord. But from there, it went downhill. Because all these wives that came out of these countries listed, the Israelites were to have nothing to do with, except in the rare occasion where you had a woman who repented and turned to the Lord and sought God and wanted to honor and worship Him. For example, in the lives of Rahab, the harlot from was a harlot in the city of Jericho when the Israelites first entered the land. And because of her faith, God delivered her and she became in the line of David and then in the line of our Lord. Likewise, Ruth was a Moabite. The Israelites were not to marry the Moabites. Yet we see that Boaz married her, but she likewise had followed Naomi, her mother-in-law, back to Israel, had desired to follow the true and living God and not go back to the gods of the Moabites. These women were different. But the women that he's talking about that Solomon took were not different. And let's just take a look, first of all, the countries. The Moabites. Who were the Moabites? Well, the Moabites and the Ammonites were cousins. They're the mothers of the founders of these two countries. The mother of Moab and the mother of Ammon were the daughters of Lot. And they had no faith in the Lord. They didn't trust in the Lord, even though their father, it says, was a believer in God and was vexed continually when he lived in Sodom, and the scriptures tell us he was a righteous man, although he sinned. But the thing is, his daughters committed incest with their father after they got him drunk and he didn't really know what he was doing. And he became the father of their sons. And the Moabites and the Ammonites, although they had a background where they should have known God, they worshipped false gods. We see later on it talks about the fact that he built to Ashtoreth. Solomon built to Milcom the abomination of the Ammonites, which is a false god that they worship, and he also built to Chemosh the abomination of Moab. And not only that, the Moabites also worshipped other false gods, but these were the main deities they worshipped. All of the false gods that they worship go back to the Tower of Babel, by the way. If you want to get Hyslop's book, Two Babylons, he traces all of these false religions that were in the Middle East at the time the Israelites came into the land. And they all had their roots in Babylon and the Tower of Babel during Nimrod when he tried to rule the world and become the god of this world. So the Moabites and the Ammonites did that. The Moabites and the Ammonites were not helpful to Israel. The king of Moab was the one that wanted Israel cursed. And remember, Balaam told him, the way you curse Israel, I can't curse him. God won't let me curse him. He only allows me to bless him. But if you have your daughters marry their sons and their sons marry your daughters, God will curse Israel. And this is exactly what happened here. Solomon did Balaam's bidding for him. He went out and married a Moabite and an Ammonite woman, and perhaps more than one. And then he also married Edomites. Who are the Edomites? Well, the Edomites are the cousins of the Israelites. The Edomites are the descendants of Esau. That's Jacob's brother. But the Edomites were also a people that hated Israel. They hated God. And they were not, Israel was not to intermarry with the Edomites. As a matter of fact, the Lord cursed the Edomites because the Edomites, on more than one occasion, came against Israel and tried to destroy Israel and help other nations that were seeking to destroy Israel. And had no love for Israel. And yet Solomon married an Edomite woman, another place that he should not have gone for a wife. And then the Zidonians. Well, that's similar to the, it's another term for the Sidonians, with an S instead of a Z. And they were the Phoenicians. And the Phoenicians were the same as the Philistines. Philistines, if they inhabited Gaza and the cities that are just to the east of Gaza, Ashkelon, and those cities, Gath, were Philistine cities. They were the enemies of Israel. Although Hiram was a king of Tyre, and Tyre was a city and one of the major cities in the city of the Zidonians, and Hiram was a friend of David, and he also supplied the lumber for the temple and the lumber for the palaces and buildings that Solomon built, their gods were not, they didn't believe in the true God. And the descendants of the Zidonians at the time when the kingdom was split, you probably heard of a lovely lady by the name oh boy, I'm having trouble with names today. She married Ahab, and she was the daughter of the king of Tyre and Sidon. And they worshipped Baal, was their main god. And again, coming out of the religion that Nimrod introduced at the Tower of Babel that was inspired by Satan. Remember Elijah had a contrast of worshipping his god versus the Baal priests worshipping theirs at Mount Carmel. And God accepted the offering of Elijah, and he consumed the whole offering, even though Elijah had put water all over it. And prophets of Baal, although they greatly outnumbered him, were cutting themselves and crying out, and nothing happened. And Elijah killed all the prophets of Baal. And it was a sign that God was a true God, Baal is a false god. Solomon would have come before that event occurred. But the thing is, Solomon, because of what he did here, introduced these gods to Israel. And he brought them in. And so we see here that Solomon married a Zidonian woman, someone from Sidon. And also he married Hittites. Who are the Hittites? The Hittites were a large group of people that really inhabited just about from the Euphrates River down through what is Syria and Israel today. And they were also part of the Canaanite group of people. They were descendants of Canaan and Ham. And they worshipped false gods as well. They had a god that they worshipped, and it's of the Hittites, but they also worshipped Molech and similar gods as them. And these gods were despicable gods. These gods are gods that demanded the people offered their children in sacrifice to these gods. They did other human sacrifice. It was despicable. And Solomon married Hittite women. They were Canaanite women. The Lord had told the nation of Israel under Joshua to drive all the Canaanites out. They did not. Much of the Hittites would have lived in the northern part of what is now Israel today. And you see that the tribes up there did not drive them out and felt that they were not strong enough to do it. But instead, they were, just as God said, their children, and either grandchildren, great-grandchildren, were brought under really the influence of these false worshiping gods that were left in the land. Well, Solomon, they weren't just left in the land. Solomon brought them back into the land through these people. Some of the other gods that were worshipped, Hadad was an Edomite prince that had escaped when you see that the Lord had sent Israelites in to kill all the men of Edom, and he had escaped to Egypt. He later came back to cause Solomon all kinds of problems. We also see, for example, in the last portion, it talks about that in the high place of Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and in, as we said earlier, the Molech was also worshipped, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And these were horrible gods. Now, what happened that really made it even worse that influenced all of Israel? What we read here, it says that as he had all these wives, it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And I don't know exactly how they did it, if it was nagging on him that we need to have a place to worship. You've got this temple you built, but we need a place for us. Where did he build these places? It says here that the places that he built for Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as his father David. And he built a high place for these gods. Now, a high place is a place of worship. And he did build a high place on a mountain. And the amazing place, the mountain that he built a majority of the high places on for his wives, is right across the Kidron Valley from the city of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. So this would be within eyesight. You just look across this valley and you see the temple. And he built on the Mount of Olives the high places for all these gods. A lot of them. And these places were built to worship them. And they did worship them. And Solomon's heart was turned away from the Lord. He wasn't perfect. It appears that Solomon may have been even involved in looking at some of these gods because it says his heart wasn't pure as David. Well, David never set up a false worship place for any of his wives. They all had to worship the Lord. David never worshiped anybody but God. Even though he was a sinner like you and me and did sin and committed some horrific sins, yet his heart was never turned from the Lord. And he immediately cried out to God when confronted with his sin, seeking God's forgiveness, understanding that he'd sinned only against God. You do not see Solomon crying out to the Lord to ask God for forgiveness for setting up high places of worship and introducing all these false gods into the land of Israel. He doesn't do it. So his heart was not pure like his father David. And even though he had more wisdom, because God had given it to him, than even David had, yet the application of that wisdom fell far short. For David applied his wisdom to his life that God had revealed to him and lived it to honor the Lord. And Solomon, really, you can see the downfall of Solomon beginning as he's building these buildings and there's all of this gold and silver, all this wealth. And then when he builds his throne, and we see the chair that he sits on, the throne, he's placing himself above the rest of Israel. David didn't do that. David was still the shepherd of Israel. And one of the things that we know David was doing, even towards the end of his life, was listening to the concerns and complaints of the people. And how do we know that? Because that's how Absalom misled the people and stole their hearts from David. He went out to the gates when his father was older and said, "My father doesn't have time to listen to you, but I do." And he was lying, and just to steal the hearts of the people. So David was different in that area as well. Solomon really placed himself above the people of Israel, and then all the horses and chariots, but most significantly taking women for multiple wives, and then women of ungodly nations, who Israel was never supposed to marry, with the rare exception of those that would repent and turn. But we know these women did not repent and turn to God, because they wanted their worship of their gods in the nation of Israel, and Solomon did it for them. This became the end, pretty much, of Solomon's reign. We're going to study on Wednesday night the fact that God does give him a warning, and then there's adversaries that come against Solomon, because Solomon, up until this time in his life, had really not had to fight any wars, because he had had such a great territory, and people came and paid homage to him. But now, as he has disobeyed God, the Lord is going to remove his hedge of protection, if you would, from Solomon, and he's going to have adversaries that are going to come from without and within his kingdom, trying to destroy him. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you just help us to understand that we're not to be part of this world. When you tell us not to, you mean don't. And Lord, when you told Solomon, don't take many wives, and don't take women of the nations that I tell you, and yet Solomon did the exact opposite, took many wives and from all the ungodly nations that you told him not to take them from. And it led to the consequences you told him it would lead to. Lord, help us to not only grow in wisdom, but make application of that wisdom that we may live rightly for you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Closing, if you would turn to 480.